Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dykewood Mills. Dykewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 2,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people, full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dykewood Mills. That draws us to you.
Father, thank you for the blessing of this evening. What a blessing we have in your presence, and we are grateful. Thanks a million, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Did you bring your bottle of oil? This evening, I want to share with you, since tonight is today is Honor Your Prophets, I want to share with you what I call Prophets and Prosperity. Prophets and Prosperity. You know, wherever the word of God is, there's power. So power is coming your direction. Great grace is coming in your direction. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now, one day in your life, the children of Ammon and the children of Moab will come up against you. And you may wonder why. Now, there are two types of fights you will encounter in your life. The ones you start and the ones that somebody else starts. And most people are not. Most people complain when fights are started by others. And that is a mistake because there's a lot of injustice in the world. And because there's a lot of injustice, it's often better not to complain, but to get on with fighting. Are you with me? Yeah. So if you think what is going to be done to you is just what is fair, then I think you should resign from this world and move to Mars. I told you there are different conditions in the different planets in the morning, isn't it? And the conditions on Earth are conditions of hardship with little result after a long time of work. As for Mars, nothing's growing there at all. There's no even water. Actually, all the planets. But a place like Jupiter, you wouldn't want to be there. Venus is the hottest, not Mercury. Mercury is nearer the sun, but Venus is hotter. Because Venus is surrounded by some gas which traps the sun. So the environment of Venus is, it's about 800 and thousands of degrees. You wouldn't want to go there. You'd be quite happy to stay here and be sowing a lot and reaping small. It's better than being on Venus. And then you wouldn't want to be in Jupiter either because the winds are so strong, 1,000 miles per hour. And the planet itself is going around very fast. And by the way, there's not even soil to stand on in Jupiter. Jupiter is made of gas. So if you want to stand on something, you are left with Mars, Earth, Venus, and Mercury. They are solid. But the other ones are gas. So you don't have much choice. And if you want to go to Saturn, well, they have found on one of the moons of Saturn some lakes. But unfortunately, the lakes are made of methane gas. Methane. Do you know what you can do with methane? I don't know either. So you may have to do with our Ancobra River. All right. Okay. So life on this earth is some way. Very some way. And if it's only when you are new that you believe it. So I prophesy towards Ammonites and Moabites that come against your life. They will be crushed. They will be defeated. And the enemy you see today, you will see no more. In Jesus. Say, I receive it. All right, verse 2. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. Now, verse 2. Look at verse 2. What does it say? There came some that told Jehoshaphat. All right? Saying, there comes a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side, Syria. Now, if you are part of this life, you will one day receive a call. Or see a message on your phone that you will not like at all. And that message may frighten you. But again, these are some of the conditions on earth. The vice president of America, I think is the one who went, Joe Biden. I think it's him now. He married twice. I think it's him. I believe it's him. But you know, I think I heard him talking about how his first wife died or something. And he said, yeah, you move on, but he remembers the message, the call. It's terrifying. You know, it's what happened to Jehoshaphat. He got a call. He got a message. And it was something. Well, that's why I believe that we need the grace of God and the help of God in all that we are doing. And God is helping us. Now, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. And they came to seek the Lord. It's a very good idea. In anything in your life, seek the Lord. You know, even the smallest prayer is a good prayer. Okay? So Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah, and they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem and said, O God, art thou not thou God in heaven? Rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of the earth? In thine hand is there not power and might? Art thou not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land and gave us it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? Abraham is God's friend. And they dwelt therein and have built their sanctuary. If, when evil cometh upon us as sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, and we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou hear. Verse 10. Now the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them. Behold, I say, how they reward us. These people, we were kind to them. You see, I spoke about injustice, things that are not fair. It's the nature of activities on this planet. Have you seen a good person, bad thing has happened to the person? Bad person, a good thing has happened. I remember one sister was saying, you know, I was a virgin. Boys wanted to sleep with me. I didn't allow any of them. Now that I got married, I'm not having a child. And those who've gone here, all there were little kiosks, people were coming to buy all the time. And they are rather having children. You have to stay around in the church for some time. You by all means hear it. See a good sister, very nice, and you look at her husband. He's a mulligan. Do you know what is a mulligan? Huh? You know, in golf, when you play, and maybe the ball goes out, you know, the people that you are playing with will feel sorry for you and say that it's a mulligan, which means that we didn't see it, or it's non-scoring. Let it pass. So play again. Yeah. So, you see a sister married, a very good sister, and she has married a mulligan, a non-scoring person who doesn't have points at all. And you see a brother who's marrying a sister who doesn't have the marks at all. The only marks she has are for dressing, but no marks for cooking. Less than 5% for sex, and less than 6% for happiness. good company. A person is always on the phone. Check in. Hey. It's a mulligan. Ask your neighbor. You tell your neighbor, I prophesy and bless you. Never be a mulligan in the name of Jesus. But you've got to get used to it and decide that you're going to fight. Amen. Verse 12. Oh, our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Wow. Beautiful. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. You know something? It's not that I don't believe that Bill Clinton and Bush and Obama and Trump and Lee Kuan Yew and Alexander the Great, it's not that I don't believe that they were great people. They were. But when I look at the Bible, take it from me, somebody who has read, who studied medicine, and I see what is in the Word, I find that they rather seem to be taking principles from the Word and using it in their teaching. So I don't see why I should quote from Henry Ford. I quote from the Bible. So he said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes upon thee. Somebody may think that, oh, but that's narrow-minded. How can you look to God for what to do? But in the Bible and in the Word of God, you will always find what to do. Amen. On everything, the Word of God has it. May you never be in need, in lack, in want, Amen, of the knowledge, Amen, of what to do. Amen. Verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of this, son of this, son of this, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation and said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord unto you. Be not afraid by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I think we heard that in the last election. Talabuta. The battle is the Lord's. Talabuta. In Ghana, it's Talabuta. In Chi is what? Hey. Okay. Verse 16. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. This is the prophet, what is his name again? Jehaziel. Jehaziel. Beautiful. Jehaziel, he's quite a famous prophet. This is a famous prophet. He says, you don't need to fight. The battle is the Lord. Now, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. So, the direction of the prophet was, go out against them. God will be with you. Now, you see, here again, you may also say, what is the use of such a prophecy? Because if you are surrounded, these people have come against you. What are the options? You have to go. Or sit down and they come and attack you. So you have to go. But you see, this is the difference between those who believe in God and those who don't believe in God. Those who believe in God will say, let me go and ask my God. Some will say, oh, let me just think and then do. Do you see? So Jahaziel was a prophet and he prophesied. And his prophecy was almost like military advice. Yeah. He says, look at the prophecy carefully. He says, hearken ye, don't be afraid. Tomorrow go down there by the cliff. You find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness. So it was even given geographical points. Google, what do you call it? Google addresses. Google location. Where these people are going to be. And you don't need to fight. All right? So go. The Lord will be with you. Now, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground and all Judea and fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood to praise the Lord with a loud voice. So that must be your response when you hear and get a word from the Lord, praising the Lord, thanking the Lord with a loud voice. And that's why we shout, amen. We shout, I receive it. We shout, prophesy, we shout, whatever we shout, but this is what the Bible says, they stood up to praise the Lord with a loud voice on high when they heard the prophecy. And the prophecy had some military advice, it had time to start the battle, and so on. That is why I say that the books, the art of leadership, what it means to be as wise as a serpent. He that hath, for instance, these three books contain a lot of wisdom keys for what to do, what to do, what step to take next in your life and in your ministry. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Beautiful. By the way, those who are supposed to see me for counseling, please don't go. I'll see you after. First. All right? Now, are you listening? I'm sharing with you about prophets and prosperity. Now, so they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat, the king, stood and said, hear me, O Judah, all right, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, this is the king. You see, the prophet is called Jahaziel. He's finished prophesying the day before. So they went to sleep. He said, they go in the morning. But as they were going, the king felt that he should speak to the people. And he said, hear me, do you see? Jehoshaphat, as they went forth into the wilderness, the king stood and said, hear me, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judah. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. All right? And believe in his prophets, and so shall ye prosper. Beautiful. So, you notice that he differentiates believing in God from believing in the prophets. Why? Because they are actually two different things. Believing in God is not so difficult. It's the easier part. Almighty God. Oh Lord my God. When I was going to the words I have made. You can't sing that to the prophet. Oh, my prophet. When I in awesome analysis consider many things I know about you. I see the star. Which star? I see the past. I see the rolling questions. I wonder how. You say you are a man of God. So, believing in God is one thing. But believing in a man, in the prophet, is a different thing. And so he knew that when he said, believe in God, it's something that would happen. But the prophets, especially with the presence of false prophets, you also have difficulty. Now, he gave a great revelation which has stood the test of time. That when you believe in God, you'll be established, which is a man. Those of you who have read my little book, Catch the Anointing, a man and chalak. Now, interestingly, Derek Prince was pointing out the other day that the word prosperity in English is a little different from the prosperity in Hebrew and in Greek. But it somehow comes to the same thing, but it's a little different. But the word established means to be nurtured and to be established and to have a good foundation and to be nursed like a nursing mother and to be comforted. But to prosper is the word chalak. Now that one, it says, it means to go, to break out. You are breaking out. I bless you with breakout prophecies. It means to come out mightily. Mightily. Now, sit down. Do you remember Peter? Do you remember Peter? Out of the disciples. Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? Peter was there, all the disciples. Peter just came out mightily and said, you are the Christ. Ah, okay, you are the one then. The rest, none of them had this kind of promotion. The promotions was all directed towards Peter. I'll give you the keys and all that. That's why the Catholic Church makes so much fuss about Peter, because everything was for Peter. Nobody else had it. Even Thomas had no blessing, Matthew and all these guys. That's why Matthew then really made sure that they added the story of how what happened when Peter was rebuked. Because like they had nothing at all. The whole prophecy ended up with nothing for them. Are you listening? Beautiful. So, to come out mightily. Yeah. To come out mightily in life. To come out mightily. You know, whatever job you are doing, you always have colleagues. Isn't it true? I mean, let's say your classmates. Are you not on your class group? But out of your class group, some have come out mightily. You are the one. Yes. Yeah. Sit down. So, you know what? If you want to put the scripture, believe in the Lord your God, you'll be established. Believe in his prophets, you shall prosper. It's almost like, okay, pass your O level, you'll be established. Pass your A level, you will come out mighty. In other words, one is a test and one is an even greater test or a different test with different results. So the test for you is the ability to believe in prophets. Now, I will say that the way I believed in Kenneth Hagin, I can say that I've rarely found people who believe in Hagin. Even today, I was talking to somebody who comes from there. You know, when you even mention you are from Hagin, they don't make any comments. Like they're silent on us. Well, there are certain things we know. You know, we don't want to say everything and whatever. That's how people talk. they always have some kind of, you know, there's always some reservation, or they don't really believe deeply, you know. But I thank God, because I started listening to Kenneth Hagin when I was so young. I never had the opportunity to hear bad stories. Yeah. You know, one day I met somebody who gave me a book about Kenneth Hagin. The whole book is about him. And it was all negative. All. The whole book, from beginning to end. And it's only about him. A book like this. And when I read it, I rather saw something positive about Kenneth Hagin. I only remember one. What I remember learning from him was, they said that he has a remarkable ability to weave between the scriptures and fantastic stories, prophetic stories about his experiences. And he comes in and out of the Bible and to his fantastic stories. And I always remember that as a beautiful way to combine the supernatural, prophetic, and the word. That's all I got from the book. And I left them. It's somebody's thesis. Yes, somebody's thesis. Yes. If you take Archbishop Duncan Williams, you'll find few people in maybe our city or in our country who consistently honor him, mention his name. I was speaking to him about an hour ago, and I told him that, and you can ask anybody, I don't need anybody to tell me, I always mention his name. It's not something intentional, but it comes up, like now, it's come up. And it came up this morning. It's not intentional, it's not like I'm planning, or maybe I have a formula that, like, I mean, it's like it has to, you know, it's like that is, that at that point, somebody may withhold. And so I don't want to mention names. Are you there or you are leaving? I'm showing you why people don't come out mightily. Because they said, believe in his prophets. And then you can break out in your life. True. So it means to break out. To come mightily. To prosper also. Means to prosper, prosperity. Yeah. So I think Jehoshaphat was really powerful in this exhortation. And then verse 21. Beautiful. So when he had consulted with the people, they appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of his holiness. You wonder what has holiness got to do with this war? And as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Beautiful. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon. Remember the enemies? That's the whole story started with Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Mount Seir was like those who stay at maybe Makati Hill, or those who stay at Ekwape Mountains, you know, like mountains people. Are you with me? Yeah, Mount Seir. So there was Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come up against Judah, and they were smitten. The enemies you are seeing today will lie down. Will lie down. I don't know how they will lie down, whether as dead or sleeping, but they will lie down. So you will not see them anymore. Now you may say, you know, should a prophet be killing people? When Elijah was in the desert for 3 years, the king sent a captain, an armored car with 50 soldiers to come and catch him. And he said, if I am a man of God, fire should come down and consume. And it consumed the captain and his 50. 50 dead. Then he sent another one. And he called down for fire and consumed him and his 50. So, the third person came and he said, man of God, I beg you. He fell down on his knees. Your enemies will kneel down before you. Your enemies will kneel down before you. Your enemies will kneel down before you. Hallelujah. I'll show you something fantastic. Beautiful. Are you sure you are interested? Oh, I want to show you something. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Are you sure you want me to tell you what I'm going to tell you? Beautiful. The 50 and his 50, they will go in the name of Jesus. They will go. For you. For you. Amen. All right, it's okay. All right, Isaiah. Oh. 43. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When thou passest through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. So how many are saying that these are quite terrible things? Waters, rivers. I am the Lord. Notice verse 3. I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Now notice, you see, when he says, I'll give 50 people are going for your sake, 50 dying. He says, I gave Egypt, a whole nation, for thy ransom. Well, God can give a whole nation, one person that he loves, he can give a whole nation. And Ethiopia and Sheba, I gave them for you. Two countries. Just because I like you. Verse 4. Now, since thou was precious in my sight, and thou hast been honorable, and I've loved thee, I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Now, if you watch animals, wildlife, you'll understand this verse. You see, when a lion attacks a herd of antelopes, peace comes to the other antelopes when one antelope is caught. You understand what I'm trying to say? So sometimes the trouble doesn't end till one antelope is sacrificed. Yes. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It's like, there's no peace. We are all antelopes trying to eat, trying to have a good life. But hungry lion and leopard moving around is disturbing our lives. So one sacrifice is what actually sometimes ends the trouble. Yes. It's amazing. It's amazing. Back to our story. You can chew over that. Back to Jehoshaphat. Yeah, beautiful. Now the Lord is setting ambushments. And that's going to be the story. I see your enemy's leg in a hole and that you captured by a strong chain. You never come out of that hole in Jesus' name. Verse 23. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the children of Mount Seir, utterly to destroy them, to slay them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. So Ammon and Moab, go back, Ammon and Moab fought against Mount Seir. And when they finished Mount Seir, they destroyed each other. So it was a confusion. Something. That's why you must be very careful of confusion in your life. We are not sure what's happening. This morning I was praying against confusion. Like when you don't know what is happening, you start to fight things that are not the things to fight. And there's a lot of chaos. You don't know, am I fighting this? Am I fighting this? Am I fighting that? But it's one of the strategies of the enemy. If you want to watch a film which will explain confusion, the best film is to watch is Where Eagles Dare. You see that they entered the castle, which you shouldn't enter as an enemy. And they were in the castle and they had to come out far up in the mountain. And they said, we have to create enough confusion to be able to come out of this place alive. So they made a bomb on the left, a bomb on the right. A bomb here. They thought they were being attacked from whatever, but it was these three guys who were in the castle who were creating confusion. You never really know the problem. The problem is these two boys. Yeah. It's the real problem that you are having. It's just this one. But the confusion makes you left, look to the right. Is it that? Is it that? And you will be turning your attention to this. It's a witch. Or it is a that. Or it's a but. It's like the actual thing. It's something that you can actually solve and overcome. But because of your confusion, you miss the real thing that you should tackle. You miss it. Yeah. So they destroyed one another. Verse 24. Now, when Judah came toward the watchtower, they looked up unto the multitude. And behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Verse 25. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance riches with the dead bodies. So your enemies will be decorated with your riches, which are now your riches, and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, and underlying this, more than they could carry away. More than. I bless you with more than you can carry away. You can't even carry your suitcases. More cars than you can park in your house. More clothes than you can wear. Every lady here in this room will have more clothes than you can wear. In the name of Jesus, receive it. You have different, more shoes than you can wear. Light brown, lighter brown, light brown, very light brown. Dark blue, lighter blue, turquoise blue, sea blue, ocean blue, sky blue. Receive 80 shoes. Receive a special wardrobe for shoes and clothes. The Bible says more than they could carry away. And look at that. They were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. It was what? So much. So much. And you see, Jehoshaphat told the people, believe in God, and you'll be stable. I believe in his prophets, which is more difficult. And you will prosper. So prosperity is very connected to the prophets. Ezra 6:14. Beautiful. And the elders of the Jews build it. Beautiful. The elders of the Jews build it. Is that not so? And they prospered. They prospered through the prophesying of Haggai. Are you listening? The prophets and Zechariah, the son of Iddo. And they built it and finished it. Look, unless you build, you haven't prospered. You know, even if you take the government we have, unless they build things, they haven't prospered. They have to build things. Build the things we don't have. Yeah. He says they builded it and then finished it. You dwell in your finished house. According to the commandment of the God of Israel. And the commandment. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Yeah. So, expect to prosper through the prophecies of your prophet. Yeah. As I keep prophesying to you, if you read the book on Art of Leadership, you'll see a chapter that says, if you are a leader, build something. If you read that book, The Art of Leadership, you see the prophecies of the leadership of a child. It's about chapter 3 or 4. A child doesn't build. A child destroys. So you see that the things which our colonial masters built for us, like the universities or even what Kwame Nkrumah built for us, Tema Motorway and so on, we rather spoil them. Do you see? One day my mother gave me a chair, a beautiful chair. Yeah, I like sitting in that chair. It's nice, black. I have it. That's why I sit on it all the time. But only there was one thing not good about the chair. On the right arm, there was a deep cut. So I asked my mother, you know, this beautiful leather, you can't even get this type of leather now. So I said, what is it? What is that? Why is it, you know, cut this place? She said, when you were a child, you took a pen and punched and cut it. You see, that's a child. He only spoils things. Are you with me? Yeah. So the leadership of a child is to spoil the nice university that we have. We've put water tanks in the courtyards, destroy the toilets, overcrowd the place till it's a horrible market. No security, armed robbers roaming through the schools, robbing students. At the safest place in the country, a very dangerous place. No lights, toilet. You can't believe it. That is a child, huh? Yes, that's a child at work. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, but a mature person who builds something. So the prophecy, so you see in that book, the prophecy is to build. Builds, it shows your wisdom, it shows your maturity, it shows you are practical, it shows you are humble. It shows so many things about you that you've been able to build something. So all these prophecies are there. So the Bible says they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet. They prospered through the prophesying. So listening to the messages and the words, they are prophetic words that cause you to prosper practically. And you must believe it. If you don't believe it, you are going to experience difficulty. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Beautiful. Notice. Now, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. Okay? And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be his bondmen. You see, that's why God doesn't want you to go into debt. You see, debt is a social disease. And it's a disease of inferior economics, the economics and business that teaches you only can do well by going for a loan. I don't subscribe to that economics, and I'm now over 50 years old. I've been preaching for some years. At first, I always thought I don't know anything, and probably I don't know much, but I can see over and over and over again, you know, why would you take something like cocoa that we have in our country? I hear they have to take a loan to pay for something every year for the cocoa, isn't it? I mean, let's be serious. Somebody doesn't know what he's doing. No matter how many years you try to explain it, the cocoa is there, the country is there, the human beings are there. Every year you take a loan to do something to be able to get the cocoa to go out. A huge loan to buy what? I don't know what they use it for. I don't know what it is. But everything the loan. You have to have a loan for this, a loan for that, a loan for this, a loan for that. I mean, let's be serious. You are in the ministry, you've gone for such a loan that, and the security you've given are your children. That your children will pay. Two of your children. And you see, loans look good till things don't go well. And he said that the son of the prophet is dead. You know, so a lot of people who seem to be flying high, if there is a real crisis, you know, you find out that you cannot maneuver. Now, what God is showing us is something that, well, whatever happens, you are not affected. You never be affected. Even if somebody dies, you'll not be affected. Yes. I bless you with that prophecy. In Jesus' name. Notice. Verse 2. And Elijah said, "What shall I do for thee? All right. Thou, what do you have in your house?" And he said, "I don't have anything, just a pot of oil." Wow. And he said, "Go and borrow vessels, empty vessels. Borrow not a few." Okay? Now this is borrowing under the direction of the Lord. Yes. Borrowing empty vessels. Not vessels full of oil. These are different. You've borrowed and your children are your collateral. And you've borrowed so much that it's worth two lives. Two young lives. You've borrowed so much that your wife is doomed when you are gone. So here you see the wife, he says, go and borrow vessels. And the vessels, you don't borrow few. Borrow a lot. Nothing bad can happen to these vessels. If he had borrowed vessels that were full of oil, something bad comes. So even if you borrow, you can't borrow with your whole life depending on it. Yes. And you see some people, they take their whole business, their whole life, their life, their child's life, another life. Like everything depends on this thing that they borrow. But the people who even understand borrowing, when they borrow, it's like even if it doesn't work, if let's say what Elisha has promised or has advised doesn't work, here are your empty vessels back. Yes. I can pay you, it will not affect my life. If I lose everything, I can still pay you. That's actually how to borrow. If you are to ever borrow, that's how to borrow, but not this way. It's like your whole, you see somebody is doing well in his business, or selling paper, or selling tires, or selling paint. And it's working. It's okay, now to expand it. I'm going for a loan that is my house and my life and everything is on it. It's different from this one. And if it doesn't work, which 70% of the time it doesn't work, most people who borrow money have a problem which is not solved. That is why they have to borrow. And the banks know it. People who are solid financially, they don't borrow from the banks. So borrow, but not a few, and borrow empty vessels. Here is your friend. Wait till man will see before. Verse 4. And when thou art coming, pour out the vessels. Verse 5. And then she went and did it, and she poured out. All right? And verse 6. And it came to pass, the vessels were full. And he said, there's not a vessel there, and the oil stayed. So once again, you see that the prophet was very instrumental in the man being out of debt. So, if you were to listen, do you see, and not say, but what does he know about business? I don't know anything about business. Yes. What does he know about economics? Yeah. You know, I may not know much about economics or business, but I know enough about common sense. Yes. I may not know much about economics, but I know enough about common sense and the Bible. Let us assume that it's not even in the Bible, but common sense. Yes. The number line. That zero is greater than minus 1,000. Yeah. So, you have to listen to the prophesies, yes, of the prophets. Different guidance and direction that are coming to you based on the word of God will lead you to prosperity. Amen. Always. 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 Yeah. Prosperity means to do well. To come out mightily. To get married. Yes. To be happily married. I can give you one word and it will allow you to be married happily. But most people, when you give them the word, you start to speak like a deaf and dumb person. Are you listening? Yeah. So, open up your heart and let the prosperity that God has in store for your life happen practically. Because when it does, you are going to be really blessed and really happy that you have listened to the prophesying and it has guided you. Now, when I look at my listening to, the person I really listen to preaching is Hagin, you know. And I can say that it has helped me to prosper. Yeah. It has helped me to prosper. Hallelujah. Because there are many things that Kenneth Hagin taught that were not even topics. But they were not topics on finances, prosperity, but they were messages that were messages to me. Yes, messages. And most of them were indirect. Yeah. Even when I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma, I saw a campus that was debt-free, built. Yes. I went to America. I saw him taking an offering of only coins. Only coins. He said, last night is coins night. Yes. I've listened to him raising funds for his campus and the school. And I learned about raising funds. Yeah. I've listened to him and heard him mention indirectly certain things about his personal finances and wealth. And I knew that in the ministry, you are not destined to be like this son of the prophet who was struggling. You get it? Who was struggling and has sold his children. He was rather mentioning one day the gifts he has given to his grandchildren, the houses that he has given to his children. His grandchildren, not his children. Yes. His houses that he has given to his grandchildren. Not his children. Yes. I mean, by all means, it have an effect on me. To even guide me quietly in my heart. That if God can even bless me, that even my grandchild, I don't have any grandchildren, but if I were to have a grandchild, that will I have something to give to my grandchild? Not even children. Yes. So, indirectly, you see, one time he spoke about some people who were going to work for him. And the Lord spoke to him and told him, don't let this man do what he's going to do for you. They came to him with a contract and he said, don't sign the contract. I will help you to do it by yourself. And he set up his own tape making whatever. I was learning from that. So indirectly, as I keep listening, I keep hearing different things. Different things. It affects you. I didn't go and see struggling. and hustling and shouting. No. I saw blessings and high-level prosperity. Yes. And that is the kind of prosperity you are going to experience now. So the prophesying of the prophet, directly, indirectly, don't think that a prophet is not only you shall, but it's something that is being said to you now, practically. Hallelujah. Beautiful. Are you still around? Yeah. We are closing in a moment. But I want to show you something as we end. As we close, 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 19. What does it say? It says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well. You see, you do well that you take heed or you listen. You do well, which is like you prosper. Are you listening? We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. Now, what exactly is in a prophecy that is so much of a blessing? And I just have, there are a number of things, but I just have one for you tonight. What is in a prophecy that makes it so powerful? Beautiful. Are you still there?
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
I'm showing you something. 2 Peter 1, verse 19 again. It says, you do well that you take heed as unto a light. You see, in a prophecy, it's a light. It says, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Yes. This is what is in a prophecy. All these preachings and prophesying of Ezra and Zechariah and Haggai. What exactly is in the prophecy that is changing things? You see, it's you do well, you prosper, that you take heed. It's like somebody who is receiving a light in a dark place. I don't know if you have experienced it before, but I have. My shin, to hit it on a bed or something, or your toe in the dark. How many have had some severe? Oh, you have all experienced it. Bad. So when you are experienced and the light goes off, you stand still. But when you are not experienced and the light goes off, you start to make some moves. Yeah. And the Bible is saying that you do well. You take heed. You do well. Because it is like a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. So when the day dawns and the day star arise, there's a star that comes early in the morning that shows you that morning is coming. When you are into stars, there's a star that comes in the morning. That's what's called the morning star. That's why it's called the morning star. It heralds the arrival of the morning. When it appears, you know that morning is coming. Yeah, that's why it was called the morning star or the day star. It's coming the day. Are you with me? But until the morning star is coming and telling you that light is about to start coming, you are in total darkness. And it will be of great importance to you to take heed to the prophesying, the preachings, the words, the messages. Because in every message, there is something specific for you. Always there's something for you. You know, when I listen for 1 hour to a message and I don't have something specific, honestly, I don't enjoy the message much. Like, I can listen and I say, no, I've made a mistake. This is the wrong message I listened. I should have listened to another message. Yes. Yeah. Beautiful. Are you there or you are leaving? That's your light. Showing you the painful spots. Look at pain. Look at pain right here. Look at pain. I'm going this way. Look at another. I'm going this way. Prophesy. I bless you with light. I command the blessing of the Lord on your life. Yes. Light for your life. Jesus said, I'm the light of this world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Life's light is following Jesus. He's a great prophet. So, your doing well begins from tonight. And it begins by taking heed. Yeah. If I take musicians, singers, you know, you will hardly ever sing for me without me saying something about it. You know, if you are looking at me in the natural, you may say I'm fussy. And you are stupid to think it that way. It's a stupid way of thinking. I preached about it this morning. Don't think of somebody as fussy. You see, what you call fussy is somebody will call guidance. Somebody will say anointing. Yeah, you are calling it something that irritates you. Yeah, it's the way you think. You don't think well. Yeah. Most singers can't stand it. Most singers can't stand it. Most artists can't stand it. Yes. Most artists can't stand it. Most architects can't stand it. Most doctors. I'm always looking for a professional who can listen to prophesy. Yes. You know, I once met a doctor, many doctors, then I met this gynecologist. And he was an older man. And I would discuss cases with him. An older, not in a church. And I was always impressed with him. He was ready to discuss and analyze and open to suggestions, ideas. We are dealing with situations that don't all have solutions. I was impressed with him. Always impressed with him up till today. Yeah. Architects. You tell them. It's not every building that has to have this arch. Please. Yes. Yeah, they don't want it. I met a graphic designer, an artist, and I thought I was going to work with him for many years. I just made one comment about one thing that he made. I never saw him again. Yes, I met an architect. I made one comment. Never saw. They don't want it. They don't want it. Amazing. Meet a singer. I said, you sing about this and this and that makes it better. They don't want it. They don't want it. Amazing. People don't want to be told anything. And the Bible says that they prophesy. He said, you have a motion where you will do well if you take heed. You know, and you ask yourself, when you are working in the church, and when you are doing something in the church where the important person in the church is telling you something, it's a problem for you. How can you ever do well? Never, you will never do well. And if you work in God's house and God is saying, this is what I like, it's a problem. All the missionaries who failed and who are failing, they don't listen to the prophesying. You tell them one thing, this, do. They don't do only those things. They do everything except those things. All those who fail, all those who don't do well, they all have the same story. Your story will be different. So it is all about taking heed to a prophesy that comes. Just take heed. It's like a light that is shining. You know what the Bible says? Obey your father and your mother in the Lord, for this is right. So sometimes we are looking for what is right. But what is right is what your father says. It's another way of looking at the prophet's word. This is what is right. Obey your parents in the Lord. Not in the devil, in the Lord. This is right. Look at it. For this is right. You always think this is right is that to obey is right. But what the parents are saying is what is right. Yes. That's what's right. That's the right thing to do. Yeah. You see, if you honored the prophet truly, your marriages will be arranged from, we are in October, from this October to June. So many of you, wait, no, listen, I'm not prophesying, I'm telling you something that if it were, from now to June, all unmarried will be married off between now and June. Oh yes, we'll not see you hanging around here and be squealing and crying if you listen. Yes. And then they would do well in the marriage when they continue to listen. We said, do this. Kneel down, humble yourself, behave like this, do this, not with thinking, all will do well. But these two, both to be told, do this, and when you are in it, to be continued like Peter, to be told, he's honest, the Lord, that then later he tends to rebuke God. And no wonder Paul took over. So from tonight, are you listening? Are you listening?
Yes.
Whatever small word has been given to you is what? A light shining in the dark place of your life.
Thank you.
Yeah. There are people I've told, cheer up. That's all. They only listen. There are people I told, sing like this. Sing when I say, no, that's too much. How can you do well? So from today, you're prospering, you're doing well, is connected to the sure word of prophecy that is coming. Now, I'll tell you something. You know, let's say that the prophet is like a very mysterious whatever. But let's say that it's not so. You know, when you've done something before, you become almost like a prophet of that thing. Like if you've done a transport business before. You know, you can prophesy when you give your taxi to somebody to drive. You can prophesy. This is going to happen. So you see, you can see sometimes that Just experience makes even somebody sound like a prophet. How much more? How much more? With the anointing, and you are being told this and this and that. Is it beautiful? Father, I thank you for all of us here tonight. Thank you that a light is arising in every dark section of our lives. A more sure word of prophecy. We declare we shall go away with more than we can carry. 3 days it will take us to carry silver, gold, jewels, and diamonds. And I prophesy, your future is filled with abundance. Your future is filled with plenty. In the name of Jesus Christ. May you live long to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Take your oil. Take your oil. And pour a bit into your palm. Now listen. Do you know what oil represents? Oil represents riches. The oil in the world is the black gold. Pour a little in your hand. And don't pour it on the carpet, please. Don't let any fall on the carpet, please. It's a new carpet. You cannot spoil it just now. Now, as this oil comes on your head, I declare you'll be rich in this life. Put the oil on your head. Jesus, I thank you for your gift. Yes. Receive the gift. Receive the gift. Receive the gift. The impartation of power and of gift. Receive it in Jesus' name. What you lack, receive it now. What is deficient, receive it now. What is missing, receive what is missing in your life. Receive what is missing in your life. In the name of Jesus. Whatever makes you unfriendly, unsociable, unattractive, by the oil of the apothecary, by the oil of the Lord, may you develop a sweet fragrance of attraction, of beauty, of glory, and of honor. Receive it now. Receive it. I bless you with the oil of God, the oil of grace, the oil of beauty, the oil of glory, the oil of the Lord. Receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lift your hands and thank Him. I see nothing less than 7 cars being given to people here. Receive it 1. Receive it 2. Receive it 3. Receive it 4. Receive it 5. Receive it 6. Receive it 7. Lift up your mobile phone. If your phone is not a good phone, may it be replaced with a higher phone, a better phone. In the name of Jesus, 2 things are coming to your phone. Number 1, receive good messages, good phone calls with good tidings, good news in this phone. In the name of Jesus. Number 3. Receive money on your phone now in the name of Jesus. May you receive mobile money transfers supernatural arrivals of money on your phone and your life in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a shout of hallelujah. And anybody watching, lift your hand and receive your phone. These three blessings, if it's a bad phone, it is replaced now. Number two, receive good news, good tidings, good messages. And number three, receive money and transfers and arrivals of money on your phone. In the name of Jesus. Take it. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering. And you may be seated. Tonight, people have received things from God through the prophecies and declarations over your life, gifts, blessings, and help from God. 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. Look at it. Beautiful. 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 Now, he said, these are the things that are in prophecies. Neglect not the gift. You see, gifts that was given to you by prophecy. Yes. You see, gifts are given. Yes. When you receive it, prophecy, gifts, 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 gifts. Gifts. This is why people are poor. When you don't receive the prophecy, you don't receive the gift. The prophecy is coming, you don't receive it. And the gift, the prophecy is carrying the gift. You wonder, how does the prophecy come? How does the gift come? It comes through the word that is coming. Go and preach. It don't go. So how do you expect to have a gift? So the gift, you see. So you receive a light, but you receive a gift. You are going home with your gift today. The words that were spoken over the oil and over your life are a gift to your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. You are not giftless. You are not anointing free. There is a gift in your life. In Jesus' name. Now there is somebody here. You have a gift that people don't recognize, but this, that says the Lord, it's not man that has to know your gift. It is the giver of the gift who has to see that you are using the gift. So therefore, walk in your gifts, fulfill your callings, fight to fulfill and make full proof of your ministry. Don't leave even one stone unturned. Finish your course before there is an event in your life that terminates your life and your ministry. For I say to you, for the day shall come when you shall be glad that you fulfilled your calling and you did your invisible ministry. The ministry that men never acknowledged, but God saw everything that you did. Rise up and fulfill it. Receive the gift given to you by prophecy in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Beautiful. You may be seated. Now, I sense a new wave of prosperity. And that's why I was sharing about the connection between prophets and prosperity. I mean, only believe the things that are in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, don't even believe it. Even I say it's nothing. It's just in your kindness to me, just tell yourself, Bishop was, he was joking this evening. Yes. He was just joking. He just joked with us. He was just playing with us. Do you understand? But if it's in the word, believe it. But if it's not in the word, just in your night, your love for me, you just say, oh, Daddy was joking with us this evening. He was just playing games, just playing. But if it's in the word, it's yours. Amen. Beautiful. You are young now, but your future is going to be amazing. A young man with an old man's mind. That's your portion. A young person with an elderly man's wisdom. In the name of Jesus. Sit down. Give me an offering basket. Before I take the offering, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are here today, you are not a born again Christian, lift up your hands. I want to pray for you before I. You are not born again. Let's say somebody invited you to church, but you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Come, let me pray with you. Lift your right hand like that. If you want to give your life to Jesus, I don't know Jesus as my Savior, but I want Jesus to be my Savior today. Lift your hand above your head so I can see. God bless you. God bless you. I want to pray with you to give your life to God. If you are here like that, lift your hand. If you are here like that and you've lifted your hand, stand up. Stand up where you are. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And come to me. Come, come, come. I want to pray with you. Come. Beautiful. Give him your life today.
Give him your life today.
Jesus Christ, lift your hands. Two hands, lift two hands. Lift your two hands. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender my life to you. Please accept me as your child. From today, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all my sins. Wash away my sins. Make me whole. Cleanse me. Make me your child. From today, I give my heart to Jesus Christ. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Nobody can heal. heal our souls. Diseases, no, no, not one. No, no, not one. Nobody can heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No. Nobody like Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Not one. Nobody can heal our souls' diseases. No. Jesus, no, no, not one. No, not one. Nobody can heal our souls' diseases. No, 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 not one. No, not one. No, no, no. Nobody can heal all our souls' diseases. No, 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 not one. Oh, not one. Said I've been around the world and I can't find nobody like him. Nobody like him. If you just try him and see, you will find that is all that you need. No, not one. No, not one. No, 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 not one. No, not one. No, no. Nobody like Jesus. No, no, not one. No, no, not one. Nobody can heal souls' diseases. No, no, not one. No, no, not one. No, no, no. No, 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 no. No, 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 say no, 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 say no, 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 no. about this for many months. Lord, let your will be done. And I've been thinking very hard. God, help me choose the right person.
Love. such a special treasure to my life. There is no like you. Oh, my beloved, how I love you so. I'm committed to our love. I feel so happy when I am alone with you. Yeah, I just want to marry you. suffer and to sacrifice. Talk about my relationship. It's about my beloved. He's so special. Can I tell you what's happening in my life? I'm in love and I think I'm gonna get married. I'm sure you're many waters cannot quench it. True love is strong as death. The floods cannot drown it. Whatever God does, it shall be forever. Love is strong as death. It shall be. Forever. I
Yeah.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books and other resources by Dykewood Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.